I'm Phil Pringle, and welcome to the C3 Church Global Podcast. Thanks for joining us today from wherever you are in the world. C3 Church Global is a family of almost 600 churches around the world, and this podcast is all about equipping pastors and leaders to lead healthy, growing, and multiplying churches. We are Christ-centered, Spirit-powered, and Connect-driven. Every week on this podcast, you will find new and uplifting content to strengthen you, equip you, and help you lead others into a relationship with Christ. You'll find a mix of devotionals that build your faith and your relationship with Christ, as well as rich and empowering conversations with leaders and friends in ministry from around the world. We also bring inspiring testimonies and updates from our pastors and churches throughout the C3 movement on the 64 nations that we're present in. Here's this week's podcast.
Hi, everyone. Well, it's me, Pastor Chris, and I am delighted to be bringing this new message to you and our churches, our leaders. And I cannot really say it's a Bible study. I think always what I'm bringing is what the Lord is doing in my own life. And I think that helps you, because I think long time ago, the Lord said to me when I'm preparing messages, make it personal, Chris. And so today, the title of this message, it's got a couple of titles, but the return, the great return of the prodigals is the message, or the great return, or prayer for prodigals. And you, as I unpackage this message, you'll understand why it has a few meanings. So thank you, Holy Spirit. I pray that you will bless and open the ear of every hearer to receive your word today. May the burden of prayer for the prodigals fill each and every one of our hearts in the name of Jesus. See? there we go. Well, look, to begin with, let me maybe just explain briefly where this message came from. Several months ago, Phil and I can't even remember where we started this prayer and fasting, but it really was a list. We made a list of important prayers to bring to the Lord, and more specifically, names of individuals that we were burdened for. And I love in Scripture that the Lord calls us. He calls us men and women by name. Never once does He say, when He was calling somebody, "Hey, you, what's your name again?" He knew everything about everyone who He was calling to walk with Him and to be His disciple. He knows their name. He knew where they live. He knew where they work. Remember when He called Nathanael, and Nathanael made some comment about, "Oh, why me?" And the Lord said to him, "I saw you yesterday, Nathanael, when you were sitting under that tree." I mean, He sees us before we even know Him, and I love that. And that's part of this message today. And He sees our troubles, and He sees all those troubles clearly by name. All through the Old and New Testaments, God made it so clear who He was appointing to do certain things. Even from the womb, I love this scripture, He names us and calls us. Isaiah 43, verses 1 and 2, "Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine." Isn't this marvelous that we are called and summoned by name, not just willy-nilly, not like, you know, pin the thing on the donkey and, "Oh, you'll do." Exceedingly specific that we are called by God. So further background to this message, several months ago when we were in California and serving with our son, Pastor Joe at C3OC, I asked Joe, "What would you like me to do? Is there anything I can do, like apart from be here and support," which was enough for me. And he asked me, he said, "Mum, could you just get together with some of the older women and have coffee with them and just hear their story and be in their world and love on them?" So I did this. And a most remarkable thing happened. As I met with these women, each and every one of them began to tell me their stories and how that in their lives, there were several who did not know the Lord, and they were burdened with it and tears, crying. And so after this happened, I asked Joe if I could just meet privately with these women and we would pray. And we called this little moment the prayer for prodigals. And the one thing that through scripture I said, let's do, you don't have to say anything about the condition, but just write down the name of that person that we are going to be praying for corporately. Isn't that amazing? I think sometimes we get so caught up in, Lord, save the world, and we miss those right in front of our eyes. Even Jesus, and this is such a wonderful scripture for us to have a look at together today, John 17, verse 9. It's before he's going to the cross, and he's praying a prayer for his disciples in front of them to the Father. And he says these significant words, I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but those that you have given me. Another translation says, I am praying concerning them. I do not pray concerning the world, but concerning those whom you have given me, for they are yours. I love that. Those that you have given me. Now, we do know that Jesus went to the cross for all mankind to bear the weight of our sins corporately. But in this moment, he gives us a little key of where his heart is concerning those who are very close around him. And I love that. And so the prayer for prodigals has begun. And I think you have to find out what your burden is. You have to find your sweet spot on what the Lord wants you to pray about or do in this life, not just be, you know, a happy Christian in a church, but to have a function and to know that God has called you and I to do a particular, to have a burden and to carry that mission with us. So let me ask you this question. Who are you burdened for? Make your list. Make your list. Now, I know that sounds a bit odd, but it isn't really. It's very scriptural. And just this last Sunday, I was at church here in SYD in the Northern Beaches with Pastor Al, and he was asking me what I was going to preach this to the global movement. And I told him a wee bit, and then he told me about these cards that he has. And it's called Reclaim. And I opened it up, and who I am praying for. I love that, who I am praying for. So not vaguely, I pray for, you know, the world and everything. Who are we praying for? And I think, well, it's got quite a list here, but if you had a burden for, say, let's just say three individuals, they could be in your family, they could be a son, a daughter, a spouse, a mother, a father, a niece, a nephew, somebody who is close in your world, who is away or not quite following Jesus, then I suggest write down their name. I think that's the beginning. Make your list. You know, somebody else made a list many years ago, Schindler, and the movie came out, Schindler's List, and I thought, I just want to have a wee look at that. And towards the end of the movie, when the Jews had been released from the camps, he was saying goodbye to those, many of those who he had actually rescued. And he was weeping and he was like, I could have done more. I should have done more. He rescued 1,200 Jews from certain death in the camps. And then the movie sort of finishes there. But then in the outros, you go to where Schindler has been buried and you see the generations of those Jewish families who have now survived because of his courage, because he made a list. He made a list of 1,200 people. And isn't that phenomenal? 1,200 and now generations later are alive because he made that list. He was courageous enough to defeat and not be afraid. He could have been arrested at any time and executed, but he did it to employ these Jewish people in his factories. So I have a list. I have a list. A list of those that we pray for. You must find your list. You must find your burden, and my burden is for the prodigals. A prodigal is a person who once had a purpose, a mission as it were, but for 1,000 reasons lost their way. There's an unusual, well, not, but a bit of a silly definition. It says, the $1 million lottery winner was such a prodigal that his windfall was exhausted after only a few years. That sounds so familiar to the story of the prodigal son found in Luke 15, verses 11 to 32. And we know that the son asked for his inheritance early and left and, you know, had a party and lost everything. When the funds got down, he ended up in a pig farm. And the Bible says that that stage of him being so down and at the end of himself, in verse 17 it says this, when he came to his senses, or another meaning is when to come from one place to another. Now, look, I believe this in my heart, and we know this from Scripture, that the Father daily looked out from his house over the hills to see whether his son was coming home. It says he waited. He waited. He was burdened for his son to come home. And his prayers met that son in the pig pen when he was like in darkness, and he came to himself and he said, what am I doing? What am I doing? I had it all. I've lost it. And he remembered the joy of the father's house. He remembered how that his father's servants lived better than he was right now in that pig pen. It was like his eyes were opened, and I believe that his eyes were open because somebody prayed for him. His father prayed for him. Perhaps the household prayed for him. We're not sure, but they definitely had prayers for this prodigal son. Daily he looked. I love that. When you have a burden for someone or a company of people, they are on your heart day and night. I don't know about you, but I'm burdened for many people in my world. And I go to bed at night, Phil and I, and we wake up and we might be in the car and we just lift up that another prayer, Lord, protect. And that person is somebody on our list. We know what happened, that the son came home and he was terrified. He just thought, oh, the father's going to shoot me. But he welcomed him. And I want us to see that picture. Often I see that picture of the prodigals, our prodigals, the ones that the Lord has given us, coming home, and we're hugging them and the father is hugging them, and their salvation is restored and there's healing and forgiveness and restoration. See, when we pray for a prodigal, it isn't just for their salvation. There are so many other elements about a person being restored to Christ. There's got to be forgiveness. Oh, some people have experienced terrible things by other Christians or even in their family. And so we need the grace of God to cover us as we pray. I was a prodigal. Someone prayed for me. I know of three who prayed for me long before I came home to Jesus. And I asked the Holy Spirit to just remind me. And, you know, the first person was the minister who christened me. My father had died unexpectedly. I was 3 months old. And Dad had asked my mum, if anything should happen to me, Billy, make sure that you have Christine christened. He was a Presbyterian. And so not 3 weeks after my father was buried, the minister came to our house and he christened me, and I had the certificate. And I know that was the first person who prayed for me. He prayed for God's grace to be on my life. And his grace is in my life from those prayers. The second person that prayed for me in primary school, my scripture teacher was a Salvation Army officer, and he had a tiny little button accordion. And I do remember him sitting with me, and I felt warm. I felt the warmth of his teaching. I felt the warmth of his prayers. He prayed for me. He prayed for this little girl. And thirdly, while I was a teenager, for 5 minutes, I went to the Baptist church. And I was only there to look at the good-looking boys, forgive me, Lord. But anyway, there was one woman who prayed for me. And I know she prayed that I would be saved, that I would come to Christ. And her prayers, so they lay dormant in my life until I was a teenager. And at aged 18, I did come to Christ on an altar with my boyfriend in Christchurch, New Zealand in 1971. So praise God, I was a prodigal. Neither of these meant the Salvation Army, the Baptist, although I did try to go back and tell the Baptist minister that I was saved and I was born again and I was filled with the Spirit. He was a plumber and he ran out of my mother's house. I think I might have scared him a bit. Might have been too much because I was saved, but I wasn't a Baptist. Anyway, I was on their list. And so your prayers for another matter. As we pray specifically, making a list of our own names, praying their names, I know God hears us. And we pray with God's promises. I have God's promises written in my Bible on bits of paper in my journal, and ones that we have shared together on our prayer for prodigals in Orange County. Jeremiah 31:16. This is what the Lord says, "Restrain your voice from weeping and your eyes from tears, for your work will be rewarded, declares the Lord. They will return from the land of the enemy. So there is hope for your descendants, declared the Lord. Your children will return to their own land." Beautiful. Psalm 103, verse 17. "But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness on their children's children." And the Passion translation says, "Your faithfulness to keep every promise you've made passes from parents to children to grandchildren and beyond." We stand in the gap if we choose. Should we choose this mission, we stand in the gap between a person's present and their future. Do not give up. Give somebody a nudge you're sitting with. Do not give up. Do not give up. You will reap if we faint not. I prayed for my mum for 17 years to come to faith. Boy, was it a battle, but prayer won. My sister also. Years and years of like anguish, and but God, through prayer, God uses circumstances and to soften the heart of those that we're praying for, so that eventually, through some other way, may not, often it's not even through us, they come to faith. When our own children have been finding their own way, we prayed. We prayed, we wept, we cried out to God, we interceded, and still do. I love this next scripture and the song that goes with it. Actually, it's been recorded by C3 Toronto. I sing it, I pray it all the time. Romans 10:13, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Don't you just love that? And we intercede for those and we pray. We see them coming back to the Father. We see them. And as we sing and praise God, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." And then it goes on to say, "We'll wait on the Lord. We will wait on the Lord." It's a wonderful, wonderful song. You have to download it. So as we pray and wait on the Lord and call on God for our prodigals, not the general prodigals, there's hundreds and thousands of prodigals, but listen to this. I had a thought, Phil and I, when we were coming in the car, I said, imagine if each and every one of us in a C3 church and our leaders, we chose three souls that we are burdened for, who are away from the Lord or in a fix, and there are 100,000, maybe more, maybe 200,000 Christians across C3 Global who, if each of us took three souls and we united our prayer for those to come back to the Lord, that's hundreds of thousands of great prayers, a great aroma of intercession that's going up to the throne room on behalf of somebody else. I remind us about that prayer of Jesus. I pray not for the world, but for those that you've given me. It's so doable when we each take our part and pray and seek God. And even if he wakes you up at 2 a.m. or you the Lord calls you to do a fast for a while for these individuals, let's just obey Jesus, because, hey, we want heaven to be filled, right? And in my mind, okay, after all these years of ministry, of building the churches and seeing thousands of everyone else's family members come to Christ, now I'm on a mission for my own family. I have nieces and nephews. I have other little nieces and nephews who just do not know the Lord, and I am burdened with them. And you know what? When you're burdened for someone, circumstances happen that you bump into them, that they come and stay with you, that they're passing through. I've been amazed at this. And so Jesus, who was about to bear for humanity, first he lifted up those who were specific to him. And I do see this, a great return of men, women, sons, daughters, prisoners, politicians, mums, dads, grandkids and nanas, the sick and dying, some who have been hurt and betrayed by the church, some lost in pain, who absolutely despise the church for a thousand reasons, others who are thinking it's way too late for them. But greater than all these reasons is a love far greater, deeper and kind. A love so deep, it can melt the hardest of hearts and heal the brokenhearted. I see a glorious return of loved ones. Imagine when all our lists are made and our specific names brought before the Father, the great return of the prodigals, then their lists made with the burden of their friends and families. This is a mighty army of prayers. I love that. Oh, coming home to Jesus. Oh, can you see it? I think just begin to write down who, begin to make your list. Make a list. Make it clear. It's not a Santa list. It's a list of prayer for prodigals. In Psalm 107, verse 17 says this in the Passion Translation. I love this. But Lord, your endless love, stretches from one eternity to the other, unbroken and unrelenting, towards those who fear you and those who bow down in awe before you. Your faithfulness to keep every gracious promise you made passes from parent to children to grandchildren and beyond. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Why don't we just stand together in the congregations and just lift your hands to heaven as I read this final scripture before we pray today, Isaiah 45 verses 15 to 18. Can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has borne? Though she may forget, I will not forget you. See, I have engraved you on the palm of my hands. Your walls are ever before me. Your children will hasten back, and those who laid you waste depart from you. Lift up your eyes. Just lift up your eyes right now. Lift up your eyes to heaven in the congregations, in your house groups, wherever you are today. Look around, and this is what you're to see. All your children gather and come to you. As surely as I live, declares the Lord, you will wear them as ornaments. You will put them on like a bride. Hallelujah. So Holy Spirit, we bring before you. We are burdened. We thank you, Lord, that you're going to stir the hearts of men and women under the sound of my voice today to make their list and to not give up, to believe God and to see wonderful, wonderful things begin to happen and to share it together in their small group or in their families as to what the Lord is doing. So we thank you, Lord. We know that you are moving by your Holy Spirit, and I thank you in the mighty name of Jesus. One of my friends who I'm praying with for her family members said this, God is answering in ways we didn't imagine. And we are so hopeful that this is the year that they will return, the great return. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. So, God bless you. Until next time, you know I love you. My heart is with you. I pray that you will see wonderful miracles in your family and beyond. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hey, thanks so much for joining us. If you're a pastor or a leader, we'd love to connect with you. Throughout the year, around the world, at our regional gatherings are a great opportunity for pastors to come and discover who we are as a movement. Or if you simply want to come and be refreshed and blessed, you're more than welcome. If you're interested, reach out at hello@c3churchglobal.com. That's hello@c3churchglobal.com. See you again soon.